Yes, Alfred?
To the bat phone, sir.
Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
It's Batman!
Everyone, and welcome to Batmania 66.
Your pleasant tone is a lie.
My pleasant tone is a lie. We have been fighting microphones.
We.
Yes, we.
Ben.
The Batcave has been fighting microphones. So we are up and running, and I'm actually surprised at the levels we've got on this omnidirectional mic, so I'm hoping this works out. With us, with us as always is Holly.
Hi!
And then today we actually have two guests.
Yay.
We have Ben, whose last name I do not remember.
It is Stoddard.
Ben Stoddard. And Steve, whose last name I do not remember.
Steven Alec.
Yeah. Both of them...
We're literally wearing shirts with our full names printed on them.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You should wear your glasses.
Well, they showed up in their henchman outfits.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We were pretty impressed. It was real dedication.
Yeah.
One of them's Cauliflower, the other's K.O.
Yeah.
Actually, I think it's pronounced Caillou, is I think, how that's supposed
that's
to be
how, that's how they would say it on NPR.
Caillou.
But, so today's episode... Oh, we're already off the rails.
We have to talk about those henchmen uniforms because they are dad in fall, basically.
Okay, so Ben and I have a hypothesis. Yes, Ben, this Ben.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, there are two Bens on the podcast today. I don't know how this is going to work.
My Ben!
Dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
Hysteria.
Holly and I have come up with the idea that... there is a central henching agency in Gotham.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, they did it in the Venture Brothers and whatnot. It is a familiar concept. I think it's the only thing that makes sense.
Well, it has to be. I mean, where else would you get all of these kind of standard issue
people? And also, you know, it happened in, you know, after the Second World War that, you know, after so many henchmen were dying... they bravely formed a union.
Yeah.
You needed to get those benefits. You know, you need to...
I'm sorry. Are you proposing that
henchmen...
No. Obviously, there's a henchmen union. No one is disputing that.
Yeah,
but that the henchmen, like, as a... Like, they were their own unit in World War II?
Oh, no, that the unionization happened after World War II.
Okay.
And that industrialization.
Okay, no, period. I thought those were directly correlated in a different way.
No, they came home, and they used their GI Bill to go to an accredited henching school.
Yeah.
Okay,
and then, I'm good.
You know.
I went way off the rails, and that was okay.
They all went to hench you.
Hench me?
Yes,
hench you. Because they...
I refrained.
And Cauliflower and... KO, I think, were their names.
Yes.
We're getting way ahead of ourselves on this, but they're wearing an orange sweater with their name on it, and then slacks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Dickies. Well, it is the most dad in fall uniform I've ever... It's like...
Oh,
well,
no.
You know, no, look, it's still a business. You're not going to show up in dungarees, okay?
they're in those, like, Chuck Norris kick pants, you know? So you gotta have enough flexibility, enough give to be a...
The stretchy jeans that he has?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Chuck jeans. Norris for kick pants.
Are they actually called kick pants?
I don't know, but they are now.
I know they make...
In this commercial, they are.
Yeah. Good God.
There was a point... Oh, you need to see the sweater vests.
Oh, yeah. Joker is a fan of sweater vests.
And cabbie hats. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Is that what that kind of hat is? Oh, like the like kind of flippy one that they would wear in like Newsies?
Yeah, Newsies.
Yeah.
What did you think I was talking about?
I pictured his bowler, and then I was like, is that what that kind of hat is?
Oh, because you were thinking of...
No, that has a name. It's a bowler.
I think
now that is all been said about.
I thought that we were discussing is called a Dubliner.
What do you call those bowler hats?
Yeah.
I love that. That was great. Because the Riddler, who is, spoiler alert, our...
Yes. Oh, did I even say that this episode is called Ring Around the Riddler?
Don't think so.
Okay. So this
we
episode is
Ring Around the Riddler. We just dove right into the henchmen.
Steve and Ben... it is usually tradition that our guests tell us who the villain is. We may have already guessed, but also tell us what their villainous plot was.
Because we don't know.
Oh boy, I watched it and
I clue.
Still don't know. It is the Riddler,
uh-huh.
And his plot is to... He
Ultimately, he wants to fight Batman in a boxing ring. And in order to get him there, he has a fighter take a dive?
Yeah.
All the fighters.
He gets a fighter to take a dive at the beginning. And Batman only notices it because Batman is Gotham's boxing commissioner.
No. Bruce Wayne is the boxing commissioner.
Bruce is, but then...
They are not two different people.
But then later in the episode, Commissioner Gordon gets a call from the boxing commissioner while Batman is in the room.
Did anybody else notice this? Where's the script supervisor for this episode? We need to get him or her into this room.
But first,
let's assume it's him.
But first, get him into rehab and get the coke out of his system.
Actually, I think this might require more coke. I think it is a safe bet that this requires more.
That bomb thing that they had when they opened it up, they were like, oh, there's metal fiber. No, that was just all the leftover coke, and Adam West improvised that line to save his own ass.
Yeah, because there's a bomb. There's first a stage fire. No, I'm trying to piece this together in my head.
All right, so first we take tab A and turn into slot B.
There's a guy... who takes a dive. His name is, like, Kid...
Gulliver.
Kid Gulliver, which is the dumbest name ever for a
fighter. I can't remember what I ate for breakfast.
I wrote it down. That's why I take notes.
Oh, okay.
I thought there was going to be a payoff to this. Yeah.
And then you find out that was the plan of the Riddler...
So what I think happened, and what is not clear in that episode, if I can actually like try to say something, the Riddler fights that dude. He doesn't take a dive. He makes it so that fighter loses to Mushy Nebuchadnezzar, which is the Riddler in disguise as a boxer. We just don't see that, and it's not made clear. Basically, he's moving Mushy Nebuchadnezzar up the ranks. So he can
then fight
Batman.
Because
he's the Mike Tyson of this Punch-Out.
I have a lot of notes on this script.
Okay, but at one point, it is... Well, okay, we're going to stop this synopsis before we hit the 10-minute mark. But at one point, it is made clear that Mushy Nebuchadnezzar is a real boxer that they have kidnapped, and Riddler is now impersonating.
But was that clear? That was not clear.
That was not clear to me.
I also assumed.
I was confused.
Oh, hungry.
But I didn't get the sense that Mushy Nebuchadnezzar was a guy that everybody knew.
No, because I remember. I got it.
Time out. Holly has something to say.
Betsy. Who is the short-haired...
Betsy Bullface?
Yeah, she's not...
Oh, boy, that is a name,
okay,
isn't it?
Was it? Okay, it was Bullface, though, right?
Yes.
Because I heard Ballface a couple times, and that gave me the giggles.
I wrote it down.
I wrote down Bullface.
I did not. I thought it was Boldface.
Boldface?
It's type.
It is Betsy Bullface.
Oh, Boldface actually sort of makes sense.
Yeah.
Because
she's a reporter.
I mean, for a pretty wide sliding scale of making sense.
Yeah, well, it's relative sense.
And I love that Commissioner Gordon's response was, she could be as good an announcer as any man.
I actually did make a note that the fact that she's a sportscaster was somewhat forward thinking.
Don't look at me to confirm this, because I'm the only one with a vagina here, guys. It's not how this works.
I've seen your cock. It's huge.
It's true. Betsy made the comment that, what's his name? Mushy
Nebuchadnezzar.
Yeah.
So in this universe, there was a quote-unquote real person named Mushy Nebuchadnezzar.
Yes, and
there's also a Royal Mushroom Club. And
it's a real place in Gotham.
who they get rid of by putting him in a steam room, which is a horrifying death.
No, he's not dead.
They're not dead.
They're relaxing in the steam room.
They're just mesmerized by the siren.
And steaming.
Oh, we haven't even... I forgot about the siren. Jesus.
How can you forget about the siren?
It's like Inception.
But Betsy says that...
Mushy.
Uh-huh. That he has arrived in Gotham, and is at Gotham Airport? Summit.
Yeah.
And then that he's going to come on the show. So the implication is that when he comes to... the studio, they can kidnap him and do the switcheroo.
Logic found.
All right.
It makes some sense.
So when our episode begins...
How many minutes in? How many minutes in are we?
9 minutes, 41 seconds. Yes. When our episode begins, we are...
Nighttime in Gotham,
which is the cloak for sinners. I liked that. It rather made poetic.
It's legit.
And then...
The Riddler is in a, quote, little-used gymnasium, and it has a sign that says little-used gymnasium, which, oh, come on, guys, find a better name. Like, have...
How else would you know?
Yeah.
Like, but you want to, like, set your expectations high, get some Groupons,
go to the gym. Which one? The little-used one.
Yeah. Oh, you know, that's actually not a bad pitch. Like, if I knew there was a gym that was always empty...
I would go to that gym.
No, I still wouldn't. I'd still be a fat fuck.
Oh my god! Hold on. Time out. Sidebar. I paid my 24-hour... They're not giving us money, so I paid my gym membership. And as I got off the phone, she goes, "We hope to see you back sometime soon." I'm like, "Bitch, you know I haven't been there in a year."
You can see it.
Don't passive aggressive. I just gave you money.
But that gym, first of all, that gym, you could put that in West Hollywood, and it would still be the gayest gym ever. And the Riddler?
Show your work. Tell us why.
Yeah.
Is
it the Dutch angle?
The Dutch angle and the steam room that says steam room in, like, giant...
It doesn't say it. It's not like it says it in quotes. I mean, that's not...
Well, it does have amusement park signage.
Now I am totally going to go to every steam room I can find and put steam room in quotes.
Wait, over all of steam room or just steam?
Whatever.
There's one thing I want to say. The Riddler does not commit to his mask. He has it on for about 5 seconds.
Always. Yeah. Frank Gorshin has always been inconsistent about whether or not he's hiding his identity.
It's true. I don't even.
He also switches. He switches in between his unitard and his classy suit as well.
I love that all
suit.
That.
Is amazing.
Both good looks.
Oh yeah, he's fantastic.
He is the best actor in all this, hands down.
Yeah,
we literally all wrote "Chewing the Scenery" down.
Yeah,
I maintain that he is the inspiration for Jared Leto's Joker, and not Caesar, because he is laughing his face off. Like he had just done blow because he did.
There's a very good chance.
Well, you could honestly, and we talked about this actually in the second episode with Tammy, which is no longer available. You can email me if you want to hear it. But with Tammy, there's stuff that Frank Gorshin does that you could just lift and drop into a modern Batman movie.
Oh, yeah.
And shot for shot would be totally fine.
Oh, 100%.
And creepy as all get out. Because he's chewing the scenery, but he's not...
He's committed.
He's committed to the part, and he is kicking ass.
You believe he's a villain.
And that he's batshit insane.
Oh, yeah.
He's out of his mind on coke. Which is why his scheme makes zero sense.
No, that's not why.
No, that's poor writing. That's poor writing. That is 100% poor writing.
When it begins, when the episode begins, he's trying to get us on the rails here. He is convincing this boxer to take a dive. The boxer says he's not going to do it, so they're going to throw him in the steam room until he changes his mind.
Which will kill you in a horrifying way.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I mean, I guess.
They're going to cook him alive.
People, because they do those, they do like the sauna challenges up in the Netherlands, and there are, like, and somebody dies, like, every year.
Yes.
I know this one getting way off.
No, don't. That's why we're here. I'm sorry. Sauna challenges?
Sauna competitions. I'm glad you asked.
Mind you, let's keep in mind here that a sauna is different than
a steam
room.
It is true. I have made a bit of a leap. But
now it's out of bounds completely.
I do think the way you would
podcast
look
penalty box for that.
the way that you would look upon your death would probably be pretty similar. You'd just be a little wetter in one.
Oh yeah.
podcast gold. We all like waggle our eyebrows.
Wait, you can't do that.
Then I do a shitty high five. Like podcast.
Can you see how
stop eating!
Oh my god, I'm sorry.
Oh my god.
I'm hungry, it's my cheat day, and there are cookies in front of me, and I can't control myself.
You have audition, right? Like
I'm on the keto diet, and I just want to eat anything with sugar. I want to eat this plant right now.
Don't do that. Poor life choice. Especially on your cheat day. Why waste it with vegetation?
Exactly.
It's just as healthy as kale. And so they convince the boxer to take a dive. We get a couple riddles right at the beginning.
But Ben. Yes. Ben. Betsy comes in, and they're having a conversation. What is my problem with this? They are too close. Stop talking in each other's mouths.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was already trying to follow along with the riddles, because the riddles come fast and furious in this episode.
I figured
there are a lot.
Probably the microphone was between her boobs, and that's how they got that.
No, there's just a lot of face talking in
this
show. There's
so much mouth talk. Stop talking into people's mouths. It makes me uncomfortable.
I thought it had something to do with maybe where they hid the microphones on set.
No. I don't think so. I think it had to do with making me uncomfortable.
I think a large part of it is all of the sets are very, very, very small. Like, yeah. I was, especially, we're getting ahead, but in the actual boxing ring underneath it, I was trying to picture, like, what it would actually be to be sitting right there. They're about as far from each other as we are right now. That is a tiny set.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
totally. But you and I are talking to each other just fine without having my mouth basically on your mouth.
We would look very, very, very far away from one another.
Yeah.
And how would you know that people wanted to touch each other's butts? Yes. You wouldn't.
Good point.
That's how you know, by talking into each other's mouth.
I mean, that's how I've always done it.
It's your go-to move.
It's true. Yeah. We were roommates and
touched each other's butts.
All the times.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's what roommates
do.
Yeah.
Talk directly into
each
other's mouth.
Roommates. It was roommates. In quotes.
I want to say my favorite line in this was right after they make this fight, this guy take a dive, they show up to the arena and they go to the ticket office and they hand the ticket girl, there's only one ticket girl, a box that might be a bomb.
Yeah, it's a box with a little blinking light on it.
With a little blinking light on it. So she loses her mind. And my favorite line is still Commissioner Gordon, because he goes, "What's in the box?" And all I could think of was the movie 7.
Yeah, no, but also think of how she reacted. It's very much Brad Pitt.
I'm making an exaggerated face.
Good
David
job.
Fincher saw this.
Yes, 100%.
And got inspiration for the box.
He showed this clip to Brad Pitt and was like, there you go.
And then Michael Shannon showed up with the UPS package. True fact, that's my
Sorry. Our first two riddles that I wrote down. When is the top of a... This is while Riddler is preparing the blinking box. When is the top of a mountain like a savings account? When it piques your interest. That's not actually a riddle.
No, that doesn't work.
That's a poor play on words.
Yep. I don't think that's how... interest works. Is it? Do you get it? No.
Guys, welcome back to Planet Money. Today we're going to be discussing...
financial device.
I'm going to go back to a tangent we are on for a moment. I said podcast penalty box. When somebody who cares about hockey wants to start their podcast, that's a great name for it.
Yeah.
Holly, I'm looking at you because I know
you
actually care
about hockey.
I'm the only
one who actually likes
hockey.
Well, I don't know your guys' lives. So you might like hockey.
I like hockey. I just never watch it.
Yeah, you gotta because
like you have to like make a as an adult you have to say like okay I'm going to decide to become a fan of a sport.
Yes,
sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah,
it just feels weird to get into sport.
Just,
later.
You don't have a lot of time. Yeah,
it's also specifically with hockey. If you don't watch it live like a few times, you have no tolerance for watching it on television. Like it's just not.
I didn't as a casual observer. I didn't totally hate the Fox. Tail. I know it was like
no,
a crime.
I know.
As a casual, as a person who never watched hockey, I was like, happening.
But that's why they did that was to gain more people to watch, and then the diehards were like, forget you, man.
I don't know what you're talking about.
For a while in the 90s?
Mid to late 90s, probably, maybe early on.
They made like a highlighter trail on the puck so you could follow
it had
the puck.
A chip in it, and so on the screen.
Got it. Yeah, okay.
Now with modern technology, with modern TVs being what they are, if there was a button where you could turn it on like
totally.
Post-caps, that would be the dopest shit.
Agreed.
Oh, that would be cool.
I'd probably and I am a hockey fan. I had season tickets for many years.
Some of us
I would,
are hard of sight.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't read the damn shirts. I had to ask you guys the whole time. Carry on.
All right. So, second one,
That's an example of what... What'd you call it?
Podcast penalty box?
Yeah, that's an example of something that would be talked about on podcast penalty box.
This is our podcast within a podcast.
The podcast where we pitch podcasts.
It's a podception.
I don't know why I'm doing the sound. I'm the pitchiest and squeakiest of all of us.
Speaking of pitchy and squeaky.
Do a good wah.
Weren't those the sidekicks on Laverne and Shirley?
Pitchy and squeaky? I think so. I just appreciate that.
Speaking of pitchy and squeaky,
you didn't give me that title.
We haven't talked about what?
Siren yet.
Yeah, because that's like a good...
There's a character...
We are still literally at the opening credits.
There's a character that makes, like... It's like the highest note on a Moog synthesizer and controls men, but not women.
Yeah.
Because her name is Siren.
No, and I get that, but... Okay, yeah. No, duh. That doesn't make sense.
Steve's like...
The way women are treated in this show is... It's tremendously misogynistic, but also makes no sense on top of being misogynistic.
Well, it's not just that it's misogynistic. It's that horribly incompetent men are always hugely surprised that women can do things. It happens constantly on this show. And it's Commissioner Gordon and Chief O'Hara are kind of the poster children for this. They are completely incompetent in that anytime anything happens in their city, they have to call this one guy.
And there are no other police
and in his Gotham. Child slave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they are always shocked when a woman
can do a thing.
Competent in any measure.
They call
anything.
Her a woman crime fighter.
She actually says a female crime fighter's greatest ally is luck. I want to be like,
I think she's full of shit, though. I think she's being an ass. I think she's being snarky.
Yeah.
Just like a woman.
Well, like, screw you, Dad. I'm a librarian and I'm better at this than you.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the episode begins. We get to the credits. We're finally at the credits.
It was a long, cold open.
Yeah, the fight has been thrown. Bruce Wayne has recognized that the fight was thrown.
What did Arthur... Was Arthur first to speak, or was...
You mean Alfred?
Bruce Wayne, Alfred. Was Alfred first to speak, or Bruce Wayne?
I don't remember.
It was Bruce Wayne, because it was silence... Oh, it was... What's her name? Batgirl. She's on your shirt.
Yes.
Batgirl picks up the phone, no word spoken. She calls Commissioner Gordon.
Yes.
No word spoken. He calls the bat phone. Alfred picks up and just shakes his head no. Guess what? He can't see you.
Yeah.
Say no.
It was weird. Because it was this pantomime of quick cuts. Leading to them using the bat signal.
Quick. They were not quick. Yes, it was very slow. Thank you. That was just for me. Yeah.
Man, if we were periscoping this, it'd be awesome. And they
tried that one time.
And also, I just don't buy that. Like, on top of being Batman, he's also the commissioner of boxing. That's a full-time job.
You don't know how much boxing there is in Gotham.
Mm. It doesn't seem like there's a lot.
Yeah, there was literally 12 people in that arena.
The Gotham Square Garden, which is, I suppose, supposed to be Madison Square Garden.
Yep.
I think the majority of the building budget went to exit signs.
There are 20 fucking exit signs in every corner.
Again, how would you know where to leave if there weren't clearly marked exits? One thing you need to know about Gotham, it is in the pocket of Big Label. So
explains the steam logo.
The steam room.
Batgirl,
also the, what's the?
The little gym, used gymnasium.
Little used, yes.
That's like the when you see signs for like the Little Red Schoolhouse. It's quaint.
Right.
Yeah. So Batgirl happens by the arena and then takes this blinking box that could be a bomb.
Well, the ticket lady is acting like it's a bomb.
Right.
Yeah.
She then takes it. Were they at Gotham Square Garden, or were they...
That is where the ticket appears to be.
Or were they in Commissioner Gordon's office when they opened the box?
They go to the commissioner's office
with this potential bomb
to take apart a bomb.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, we just established there are no other police in Gotham City.
No, there are plenty. They're all incompetent.
Okay.
There's no bomb squad.
Apparently. And so Batman says, it's just lucky you happen to be by the arena, Batgirl. And that's when she says, luck is important to a woman crime fighter.
It sounds so much worse when you say it.
Well, yeah. they open up the box, and it is just...
Glitter!
Iron filings.
It's glitter.
That's cocaine, guys.
It is 100% glitter.
I'm on the cocaine train.
It could be both glitter and cocaine.
It could be two things.
Some very festive drips.
I always cut my cocaine with Pop Rocks and glitter. It's my signature. And
sounds
they...
awful.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah.
I snorted a pixie stick when I was a kid. It is not.
I thought
the
story was going somewhere very different. Carry on. Pixie
stick. But that feels like an entirely different podcast.
Yeah.
It was a pixie stick in quotes.
Oh, a pixie stick. Got it.
He snorted his own pixie stick.
Did you get a bloody nose? Did you get a bloody nose?
It would be hard to tell because it becomes very colorful. It just dyes the inside of you. Like I was blowing my nose for an hour trying to get everything out.
Well, I'm sorry. I have more follow-up questions.
Okay.
Did you snort the entire pixie stick?
No, just like, you know, like a line.
You did a line of pixie stick. Okay.
Well, I wasn't doing key bumps. I was like 10.
Okay. Anybody else?
You'd grown out one nail.
Yeah.
Just like in preparation.
You had the Princess Leia Coke nail.
Yeah.
Anybody else? My initial image was not of your standard issue paper wrap pixie stick. I had in my mind the giant plastic tube.
Yeah. The Kilo. The Ron Jeremy stick.
Yeah.
The Kilo.
Oh boy.
No.
There's two things that happen, three, in this. People disappear in this episode.
Oh, holy shit!
Into thin air, and it's never explained three times!
Yeah, I've got that note somewhere in there.
I can explain Batgirl's disappearing.
Vanishing cream.
No.
That's what he said.
That's what they say in the episode.
Oh, I'm sorry. The room full of men who are all completely self-absorbed didn't notice a woman leave? She was hardly a person there.
That's why
it was real easy for her to just walk out.
They didn't really see her as a human.
It was clearly her makeup.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't that they're not observant. It's that she has magic powers.
Also, magic makeup.
I always thought that Batman and Batgirl had, like, some kind... Like, apparently she just does her own thing.
Yeah.
They are not a team.
Yeah.
She's her own
independent
agent.
Can he, like, sue her for, like, copyright or, like...
Depends on whether or not...
Send her a cease and desist.
In this universe, because there would be a courtroom episode and they would both still be in their costumes.
Oh, yeah.
That's why Robin has a collar for when he has to go. This has been something that plagued me for a very long time. Why does his cape have a collar? Well, that doesn't make any sense, but it's for when he has to go to court and wear a tie.
Does it have a little flippy bit, like where it could take a tie?
It has a collar, like a button-up collared shirt.
Yeah, I'm gonna 100%.
You don't need to look it up, I promise you, because it plagued me for weeks.
It's one of the things that I'm just staggered by the show is that all of the women are drop dead gorgeous.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Adam West has the daddiest dad bod.
And they all want him.
Yeah.
He looks good as Bruce Wayne.
And he's charming as fuck.
But he also looks good as Bruce Wayne.
When they
Wayne.
Put him in a three-piece suit, he is
stunning.
He's a beautiful man.
When he's in just like his casual rich man clothes. That I assume he throws away after one use.
Yes.
He
gives them to Mr. Rogers.
But only one shoe at a time. He still looks really good. But I stand by this. Because I one time had to play a zombie robot and I was wearing a silver footy unitard. No one looks good in a unitard.
Nope.
No.
Nobody. No. And I starved myself to look good in a unitard, and it is just not a thing.
I do appreciate that they do seem to wear dancers' belts to keep everything
No, there tidy. Was bat junk. There was legit bat junk in this
Especially
episode.
In Barbara Gordon's apartment.
I mean,
who's... And the Riddler wears a straight-up girdle. That is a girdle.
Yeah.
Sorry, one sec, though, because this is actually important to me. I apologize, because this is actually important to me. but the Riddle inside... the box
with the glitter and the cocaine
mm-hmm. is
it's canon.
Who rules the ring, not prince, king, or Raja, and then something about the walls of Kafaja.
It's something about it being written upon.
Written on the walls of Kafaja. Yeah, so this is something where turns out that Kafaja is an ancient kingdom.
Yeah.
And it really is.
And
I did not know that. I am looking it up.
Yeah, I got that.
One of the writers did a half a year in college.
But but here's the thing. This seems to be a reference to Mushy Nebuchadnezzar, because Nebuchadnezzar is a biblical king. The riddle comes before the character of Nebuchadnezzar is introduced, before Riddler knows he exists. Because the next scene, what's her face? Ballface, is...
Betsy
is explaining to Riddler that this boxer is coming in and that's their chance to switch places. So Riddler seeds a riddle that he couldn't possibly know the correct answer to.
Riddler is actually a time traveler, and that is...
How he disappears.
That's how he disappears, because it's another version of him going back in time to erase him from a timeline... This is a multi-timeline universe.
Yeah. But...
You may have to keep Ben. He's better at logic than I am.
Logic in quotes.
But what I don't understand is, he's like, okay, I'm going to have to box, quote-unquote, Mushy Nebuchadnezzar at Gotham Square Garden, right?
Right.
But then the Riddler just shows up and makes no attempt to look like Mushy Nebuchadnezzar. And nobody says anything?
What do you mean? He looks exactly like him. He wears the head thing. He's wearing...
Oh, boy. Are we there?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
So,
but once he's in the ring, a different guy, it's clearly the Riddler, not wearing any of the stuff, and none of the guys running the boxing match are like, wait a minute, that's not the guy.
That's not the guy who's fighting.
It'd be like if Cormier versus Jones and then just Brock Lesnar showed up
instead of Jones.
Yeah.
Nobody said anything.
Yeah.
Because
still a good fight. Everybody's still going to be happy.
There are no rules in boxing in this universe.
Tickets already sold.
Yeah.
Also, they're all on the payroll. So, if you go by Ben's hypotheses.
Yes. So, Holly and I have dueling hypotheses about... who is actually running Gotham?
Actually, this one works for both of our hypotheses.
I can see that.
It's just who's paying.
Holly believes that Robin is Kaiser Sose.
He's Kaiser Sose all over the place.
Having not thought about it at all, I already love it.
You're on board, right?
because something has to explain Robin, and it's either he's this awesome criminal genius, or it gets real fucking dark.
Let's get to the Hedgemaids of Sadness.
Yes, so hypothesis. This was dubbed by one of our guests the Hedgemaids of Sadness hypothesis, because my hypothesis is that Bruce, who was destroyed and broken when his parents were murdered, was taken care of by Alfred, and Alfred...
Then they collect Robin, who's also broken because both of his parents were
killed.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
And
in a freak circus accident.
Yeah.
Or they were murdered by the Joker. I don't know what's canon.
Well, they don't explain it in the show. But yes, at some point, they were murdered somehow. No parents.
They're dead.
Aunt Harriet is Dick's aunt, though. They do explain that. But anyway.
They don't explain it. They just state it.
And yes, it is made known.
It is known.
So the Hedgemaze of Sadness... At some point, Bruce got it into his head that he wanted to avenge his parents' death by becoming a crime fighter. Alfred is hiring all of these people. And that's why none of their crimes make any sense.
It's Shutter Island.
It's a Truman Show.
And so at the end of every Biff Bam Pow fight, Alfred just walks through with envelopes of cash, just handing them to everybody.
It makes total sense because he knocks out the Riddler at the end of this episode, or like the Riddler falls over, and then they make no effort to tie him up.
Yeah, they just start chatting, and they're like, yeah, let's get coffee.
He's on the ground. No, he could be dying of an aneurysm.
Let's drink camel grass juice. But we'll get there. Okay, so they get the Walls of Kafaja clue. Batgirl disappears. And Commissioner Gordon says, you know, my daughter Barbara studied all this crap at college.
He said that before.
Did he?
She left, yeah. Okay. Because that was her cue to leave.
But Batman and Robin decide to go to her apartment. They do not go via the front door.
Also, they didn't call ahead.
They didn't call ahead.
Commissioner Gordon do it.
They just climb up her balcony.
Like, yeah, it's a normal thing.
My theory is they spent a lot of money on those climbing shots, and they just needed
spent a lot of money turning the camera?
Yes.
How
expensive is it to turn a camera? No.
Which they clearly, with all of these Dutch angles, they had some primo, I don't actually know what piece of a tripod head that would be that turns
the gimbal head.
Sure.
Yeah.
They've got it lying around.
No one's got gimbal head.
I want to know, did they bulk shoot those wall things, or did they do a new one like each time they do an episode?
New one.
Or was there like a wall day where they're like, all right.
No, they would do a new one each episode, because usually when they're climbing up a wall is where they get a chance to have their cameos, which is where we find out that Batman and Robin are Nazi sympathizers.
What? Okay, you're going to have to step back.
So there's an episode where they are climbing up a wall, and not Werner Klempner, Colonel Klink pops out of the window. This is the 1960s. Colonel Klink is a Nazi POW captain.
Hogan, you almost called him a camp counselor.
I did. I totally almost did.
I'm sticking with that.
Kids.
Who's ready for a shower? And they, I can do it, I'm Jewish. They're climbing up the wall, and they just have this nice casual conversation with a Nazi. And they ask him about Hogan. So they know.
Like they're friends.
You're telling me the Hogan series is in the DC universe.
It is canon. It is canon in the 1960s Batman show.
Also Nazi.
Also, yes. Also, Colonel Klink has been on the run from justice for 21 years at this point, and hiding in his uniform in Gotham.
I will go. You know what I think? I don't think he's running and hiding. I think Colonel Klink was turned by the CIA in Operation Paperclip at the end of the war with Wernher von Braun and all those other Nazi scientists, and given a new life. And he was the only guy who wouldn't take off his uniform.
All right, but now I have this mental image of Sergeant Schultz as Wernher von Braun's assistant, and I would watch that television show. 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, so they climb up Batgirl's wall.
Wait! Time out!
Barbara's wall.
When they wipe the memory of the boxer,
uh-huh.
He says he gives them Riddle Juice.
Riddle Juice is GHB. It's clearly roofies.
What's it called? Forget Me Now?
Forget Me Now. It's 100% Forget Me Now.
He got roofied.
Yeah, that was rough for me. I was like, hey guys, can we not?
Can we not?
Yeah.
So, could you just...
Yes, so they climb up Barbara's wall. She says that Commissioner Gordon called ahead. We don't know that. She was in the room when she figured out they were going to be coming to her place. She told Batman and Robin that. If Barbara Gordon had just been a civilian, it's entirely possible that they could have just been climbing up her wall unannounced. That's creepy.
Creepy. I don't disagree at all. Because that's not her dad. That's not Commissioner Gordon's apartment. That's her
hers.
Apartment.
Yes.
Which, by the way, is a penthouse suite in Gotham.
Follow the money.
She's making that library money, guys.
Quay bono.
They
get up there. The commissioner knocks on the door and says, "It is I."
Like he's courting her, right? Is it just because I'm listening to the Children of God podcast that I think that everybody's trying to fuck their daughter?
There's a
creepy... It's a little creepy.
There's a creepy leaning on the chair moment a little bit
later. It's the last podcast on the left thing? Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
I also listened to that. It's fantastic.
It's weird. Broke my fucking mind.
I'm on, like, the real bad one. I'm like, ugh.
I'm way behind on podcasts. Or whatever.
Book of Ricky.
Yep, that's where I'm at. That's what I pulled up and they were starting. And I was like... I will wait.
But this is where we get all of the bat junk in this episode.
Yeah, like it's a lot of bat junk.
Sorry. Oh, this is where she explains that the walls of Kafaja was an ancient fighting ring, sort of proto-boxing.
What if the Temple Kafaja is like where the League of Shadows started, and that's like the League?
Oh,
of
you
assassins.
You were getting deep, but I kind of dig it.
Like, that's where the first League of Shadows started.
Headcanon.
Yeah.
Also, I love the idea of the League of Assassins in 1966 Batman universe. I just can't... Oh, sorry. This is a slight tangent.
Whole thing is.
speaking of new stuff in the Batman 66 universe,
yeah.
They released a few months ago an animated movie, which was awesome. Had Burt Ward, had Adam West, had Julie Newmar... all doing the voices, really good.
In like a retro style, or
yeah, in like a retro pop art.
See that.
Straight through, just doing like a 90-minute episode of the show. And actually, they had another one in the works, which is going to introduce Two-Face.
Huh.
And the cool thing is, Adam West had finished his voice work, so it's still going to come out. And the person voicing Two-Face is William Shatner. So I'm super excited for this. It is something we're going to end up doing eventually once we finish the run of the show. But it's... check out the first animated movie. I think it's called... I don't know. Look it up. Batman 66 animated movie. You'll find it. And it's worth it. And then they're doing another one with Two-Face. So new stuff is coming into that Batman 66 canon, which is going to be very cool.
I want to get back to this episode, and I basically want to... The whole point of the Riddler's plan in this is to get Batman in the ring with him so he can box him.
Yes.
Why doesn't he just find him and fight him? That doesn't make any sense.
Right, because ultimately, and we are getting ahead, but he does just go on the radio and call him...
And
call
taunt
him.
Him.
A little, yeah.
Yeah.
We call him a chicken, and then... two things we gotta... Okay, really quick. Two things we gotta go to. One, Batman and Robin leave, and this is where we get Commissioner Gordon sitting down in the living room chair, turning on the television set to watch Betsy Bullface's interview with Nebuchadnezzar. And when Barbara goes to talk to her dad, she sits on the floor, leans over the arm of the chair, and looks up at him adoringly. And it was a little bit icky.
Mm. But yeah, no, I wasn't on board.
This is where we find out that, among other things that Nebuchadnezzar eats, he eats...
Oh, we're to the super racist part.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Can I, real quick?
Yeah.
My whole note on this entirety of the thing, this is super offensive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's racist.
Super.
Oh, he's supposed to be a Southeast Asian, and he's wearing...
He actually says Southwestern Asia.
Oh, does he?
Which would put him in the Middle East. But it is interesting that maybe... Was that a term that people used? Southwestern Asia?
I don't know. Asiatic?
Yeah!
He doesn't have a Southwest Asian chin.
Chin.
It's like, what does a Southwest Asian chin look like?
It just kept getting
rounder.
Maybe Southwest Asia is supposed to be Mesopotamia. Maybe it's supposed to be modern-day Iraq.
Also, they just took a tablecloth, draped it over his head with some, like, curtain pulls.
Bitch, there was sequins on that thing.
Oh, yeah.
It is like if you went to Steve Bannon's birthday party. It's like the kind of entertainment he would have hired. It's like that episode of Mad Men where
Robert
the blackface.
It's so bad.
But he, the only two things I wrote down were native licorice and camel grass juice.
And bulbul eggs?
Bulbul eggs, yes.
And there's something else, too. I don't remember.
Yeah, something else.
So we find those things out. Those are very important, because that's where Barbara Gordon notices that he doesn't have the proper Asiatic chin, and decides that Batgirl's going to find out where to find these specialty foods, so she can figure out how to track.
And that's how we know that he for sure is a dude that they kidnapped, because that's what they were feeding him. Wait, no, that doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't make sense that they would feed him what he wanted.
And like, also, wasn't that what he wanted, it was what the Riddler said he wanted.
Yeah, I don't know.
The Riddler doesn't know... All of this is based on... Oh, good. Cocaine makes things make sense that don't. And
pay no attention to the plot behind the curtain.
Because honestly, like, that's what the Riddler says... That Mushy Nebuchadnezzar eats, right?
Yeah.
But then Mushy Nebuchadnezzar eats not that.
He could like Rice Krispie treats for all we know.
But that's like still how they track him down. But wait, the Riddler is not eating this stuff to get into character to be him.
He's not
talented the Mr. Rippling him is.
I got it. I don't have a question. I have an answer.
Okay.
So, Barbara Gordon.
Yes.
Says she doesn't trust Ballface. What's her name?
Betsy. Betsy Ballface.
Doesn't trust her. So she's following her. And that lady just happened to go to the Asianic specialty store. Right? So she was stalking Betsy. She didn't go to the store to meet her. The reason that Betsy went to the store? We don't know.
No. Barbara specifically says she's going to track down where to get those things.
Oh,
before she leaves the apartment.
There's one Gotham Whole Foods. Fun fact, camel grass is a real thing. It is a lemongrass, and it is a commonly made into an herbal tea.
Well, there you go.
Oh, okay.
We're keeping better on all that research.
Like, you just made me so happy.
Did they really call it an Asiatic food store?
No, specialty I don't think so.
Store.
Oh, okay.
Maybe, I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did at all.
This is where we cut like to.
Maybe I'm the racist one. I don't know, guys.
This is where we cut to Chief O'Hara having an episode of Bell's Palsy straight into the camera.
What?
You didn't notice?
Yeah, he gave him...
just staring for a good 5 seconds straight into the camera with just sag face.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, is that the scene where he's like stumbling around?
Yes.
Like,
oh, I'm sorry.
I thought that was the GHB.
Yeah, it was. He had forget-me-nows.
Okay, never mind.
And Batman and Robin show up, and O'Hara is straight up like, I don't know who anybody is. My entire mind has been erased. And this is where the Riddler shows up, taunts Batman and Robin, and then disappears in front of their eyes.
They never explain how he does that.
They don't even come close to touching it again. They're just like, that happened. And then they walk away.
He
is actually John Noble in this Fringe universe.
No,
there are multiple timelines. Headcanon.
This goes back to my theory. Riddler is League of Assassins. That's how he can disappear.
Sure. Makes as much sense as anything else going on in this episode.
I'm going to go with mirrors.
Ooh, like that Lance Burton style.
Yeah.
makes more sense.
You mean Burt Wonderstone? And they cut to what's-her-face, Betsy, coming back into the little used gym. And she's climbing down the ladder. And Batgirl is 4 steps behind her. Like, not even...
She, like, piggybacked in on her! She was like, oh, excuse me.
And Betsy is explaining, as Batgirl is climbing down a ladder, and I am not exaggerating, they are in the same shot, Betsy is explaining to Riddler, Batgirl was trying to follow me, and Batgirl is just casually climbing down the ladder right behind her.
They were on the ladder at the same time, and... I assume you could feel someone else on that ladder.
It's like a shitty, tiny little spiral staircase that you used to get into, like, an old-timey attic or something.
Yeah, there was... Like, there's no way that anybody wouldn't notice somebody else on that with them.
You know what's funny is that ladder to me said submarine, not attic, but
So it's, submarine's actually probably better. That's better. Attic usually has like one of those pull down. I grew up in Las Vegas. We don't have attics or basements, really.
I mean, we grew up.
But you do have a lot of spiral staircases but going submarines. Into very gay gyms.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's everywhere.
Las Vegas is the gay gym capital of the world. That's not workout spaces. People named Jim.
James.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Hi, I'm Gay James. Gay James is my R&B name.
I like it.
Yeah. You buy an R&B album by Gay James.
What was interesting is that they grab Batgirl and they throw her in that same steer
with
room.
No fight whatsoever.
But she... quote unquote disappears. We assume that's the disappearing cream again.
I mean, there's steam. She's
the steam,
and there is men everywhere. She just walked out.
Okay, but wait.
Here's the thing.
Later in the episode, and again, we're jumping ahead a little bit. When they are trapped in the little used gym, Riddler says, "Quick, let's get out through the steam room." He knows there's another exit in the steam room.
Don't have two exits in the steam room.
He's shocked that Batgirl disappeared somehow.
You know this would have been clearer if they had put up some exit signs.
Which they figured out by the end of the episode.
You're assuming they don't.
you go in and the steam clears.
Oh.
Okay.
Sidebar Nation. Anytime they talked about the steam room, all I could think of was the Futurama episode when they break the steam pipe. Because, it's filled with steam! That's all I think about anytime. Sorry, carry on.
pardon me. They throw her in after having Siren, who comes out of nowhere, try and use her siren's call.
Was actually there the whole time. You're just a man and you did not see her.
No, she walked into the room. I saw her walk into the room.
I am on board.
But she lets out, as Steve put it, the highest note available on a Moog synthesizer.
Yeah.
And in a way that it feels like they just ran out of sound design budget. There's no other sounds happening. Just for like 30 seconds, they're like, all right, we're just going to roll the test
way too long.
Hold that button down.
Yeah.
I really hope
if you can use your audio editing to just insert that sound for like 30 seconds so everybody can
just we'll open the episode that way.
Your
open
dog it. Was freaking out.
Yeah. Oh, because it's the worst possible sound. It's awful.
As it was horrified.
Hey guys. That's not how sirens work.
No. They're supposed to make beautiful calls that
to
lure
make
men
you
in.
Want to be near them.
It
and
is
then
not
they
supposed to be
you.
A test of the emergency broadcasting system.
And that's a weird thought. Like, can you imagine actually hearing a song so good? You're like, I gotta go see if there's something to fuck over there.
Yeah, it's Call Me Maybe.
That is a banger.
It really is. I meant to. And this is crazy.
Holly's nose is wiggling. That's why she covers her face when she laughs really bad.
So good.
It is so good.
It is.
My guess.
I could look right. And she bang. We're going to get you a copyright flag.
No, it's okay. As long as you stay under 8 bars, it's fair use. And they,
We can just change the,
But it doesn't work on women. That's the thing.
But the siren's call does not work on women.
Which is like.
Are there dude sirens?
Wait, do you think it would work?
No.
Sorry. Do you think it would work?
Yeah.
If Batgirl was into girls? Yeah.
Oh, great question.
No, and that's so sad for lesbian sirens. I'm going to write the saddest story. The lonely lesbian siren.
Wow, she's pretty cute. Forget it, man. My lesbian siren's going off.
Yeah. No. But it's just, I feel like everything that women have going for them in this universe is totally coincidental. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It just, it's by happenstance.
Did she have some kind of alcohol bottle in her hair to make it stay that shape?
I don't know.
I think she did.
But, yeah, Siren's Call does not work on women. But...
They didn't even have headphones for Betsy.
Nope. That's the name of my of my children's book.
They
headphones
didn't even have...
for Betsy.
Okay.
Like Flowers for Algernon, only headphones. More rockin'. And they
only Moroccan?
No, more Moroccan.
I know.
No, it's I know. Southwest Asiatic. Yeah. They
it's so offensive.
So
they could always be worse.
They round up all the boxers after they've stuck Batgirl in the steam room. And all the boxers get lured by the siren's call.
No, they don't. They get zombied.
And then she says, now they're ready to accept your orders. And Riddler, instead of giving them any orders, just goes, put them in the steam room.
Haven't we been doing that not sirening people?
Yes, exactly.
Wait! Also, we have Riddle Juice, guys, that apparently does the same thing.
So we are at four people, because there were three boxers, plus that first boxer, who have been murdered by steam. That is a bad way to go.
You're assuming that the steam room is on.
I don't think anybody's...
You see steam come out. So, really, the Riddler's greatest crime is not trying to fight, like, trying to rob these people or trying to fight Batman. His greatest crime is a quadruple murder.
I'm assuming they're not dead, guys. I'm assuming they're not dead.
Do you know the steam, or maybe he just had humidifiers going?
Oh, they can breathe so well.
Yeah.
Yeah, just really opening up those sinuses.
Yeah, just like a neti pot. Everybody's like, feeling great.
We foiled the Riddler's plan, except for the four horribly murdered boxers.
Yeah, they're just, like, melting in the back there.
I'm betting they come out at the end.
So this is my note.
We never see them.
This is my note.
There's another act.
No. Siren's going to get her own story. This story is done.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they are.
They're now dead. Now they are for sure dead.
The stream room is wishing them into the cornfield. Once they go in, they never come back.
Maybe they're her henchmen now.
But this is where I wrote, what is his plan? Like, this is the moment where I stopped hoping something would come together, which is like, what the fuck?
Well, his plan, what he actually does in the end, is so fucking bonkers. He throws metal filings onto Batman during the boxing match, which then somebody, Betsy Bullface, uses a giant
cartoon magnet.
Yes. That's not the first time that magnet's been used on this show.
Well, yeah, you build that magnet, the prop guy is like, yeah, we're using this a couple of fucking times.
That's right.
The rest of the budget that didn't go into the exit signs went into that giant magnet.
He wants to fight Batman. He calls Batman on the phone while Batman is at Commissioner Gordon's office.
By the way, Batman is like, he can't fight, the Riddler can't fight Mushy Nebuchadnezzar. He's smaller than you, Robin. What a fuck you to Robin.
Batman is a dick.
Does that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Is why I think he's got to be an evil genius, because there is no way you take that kind of abuse, just keep taking it.
What's love got to do with it, Holly? People stay with abusers way too long.
And Batman gets Robin killed in the majority of Batman storylines. Batman gets Robin killed
eventually. At some point, yeah. At least once or twice.
In the dark hedge maze.
Hedge maze of sadness.
Maybe they are our lovers, and maybe they're just kind of into size play. You know, like maybe their difference in height is just like a real big part of their kink.
Is it a Lolita play?
Yeah. What? Yeah. Like, well, sort of clearly.
Robin is a 30-year-old man who claims to be 16. So this does work. Yeah.
It all fits really well.
Yeah, but he's not actually 16, and everybody knows it. It's not illegal. It's not a crime.
It's just weird.
It's just weird role-playing that says, like, are you also talking about this with the therapist?
But
like,
he supports all the arts. He pays all the museums. Oh, God.
If it's consensual and he's adult, I got no problem with it.
Yeah, like Rush Limbaugh said, liberals don't care as long as there's consent.
Yeah.
That's a big part of it.
Yeah.
I know Holly hates it when I get political, but that was the funniest damn thing I think I've ever heard pretty much anybody say since one of the Republicans said that if Stephen Hawking had lived in Britain, he wouldn't have survived. Yeah, this was back in 2009, when Obamacare was being debated, when a Republican senator or congressman tried to make a point, and he said if Stephen Hawking had had to depend on the National Health Service, he would have been dead.
Mm.
At which point Stephen Hawking very politely said, I am British and I do depend on the National
but
Health Service.
But his computer didn't have a British accent.
Exactly. So how would he know?
Well, because he weighed in on Brexit, and it was funny because it, in sort of defense, I also forget that he's British. I don't think of him as having any nationality. I think of him as
Well, he's a computer.
He's a crazy robot man from the future. trying to warn us of things from the future.
You know what he should have warned? You know what he should have done? He should have warned Eddie Redmayne not to be in Jupiter Ascending.
Yeah, yeah. What a
false. That movie's great.
That movie is an episode of our podcast.
Great.
Okay, wait, I have, sorry, preview for when I'm on that episode of your podcast.
Yeah.
I argue that Jupiter Ascending, if that had been like a 10-episode miniseries,
it would have been sense.
It could have been incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking incredible. But to try and turn that much information into a 2-hour movie.
Had it been a 10-episode series and directed by somebody that was not the Wachowskis, and also written by somebody who's not the Wachowskis.
What? The thing is, like, I love so much of their sci-fi ideas. I really, really do. Like, what are they on or reading that this is being pumped into their brains?
They're
like,
up their own butts.
I guess. But it's cool. They're coming up with cool ideas.
But they can't execute them because...
No, because it's too much.
They've only made one good movie. Let's be honest.
Matrix Revolutions.
Cloud Atlas, guys.
Actually, I like Cloud Atlas.
I have never seen
it. It's a weird mess of a film. But again, there's lots of good ideas going on in that movie. Anyway, sorry.
Batman.
Batman.
But the whole point is that the Riddler uses metal filings that he throws on Batman.
The whole point of Cloud Atlas is that the Riddler uses metal filings.
which is not how the metal, like, they would just fall off his shoe.
Also, not how magnets work.
No.
Yeah.
Also, there are no rules in boxing in this universe, because you can show up in a full uniform and throw metal powder on your opponent in the ring.
Yep. Do you know what would have been smart?
Maybe if they had a full-time boxing commissioner.
Now, okay, so really quick. In the commissioner's office, before the fight, before the filings, Riddler uses two riddles to call Batman a coward. What's the chilliest 12 inches?
It's Mr. Freeze's dick.
Every one of us thought that. Yeah. Every one of us thought that. Every one of us went, it's like, wild. Well, yeah, we all, no! No!
It's like a refreshing popsicle.
I think you mean creamsicle.
Ah, sure.
The answer is cold feet, by the way. Which it wouldn't be, it would be cold foot, but sorry.
But if you had 2 6-inch feet,
and then,
who has 2 6-inch feet?
I broke Ben though, so I win.
What suit of cards lays eggs? And the answer is one that's chicken hearted.
What the fuck?
Hey guys. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Don't. It's fine. It's what happened. We all just have to accept that that was the answer.
And move on.
Because if we try, we're all going. We're going to die here.
Do you guys like deep fried chicken hearts, livers, offal, things like that? I've tried a couple times.
It's good.
It doesn't work for me.
I've tried.
I want to like it.
I like it when it's part of like a whole roast.
Oh, sure.
If it's a well-cooked chicken and the liver and the stuff just happens to be in there, and it's...
I'm not a huge fan of gout, so no, I don't tend to go for that sort of thing.
That's true.
I just wanted to get to know you guys.
I make stuffing for Thanksgiving, I boil it up and I cut it up and I put it in the stuffing.
Although, I suppose now that I don't have a big toe, I don't have to worry about gout so much, right?
One toe less.
2% less.
They
I like a well-timed math joke, so you're good.
Oh, this is where Batman turns into Marty McFly for a moment. Riddler says, "I just called you chicken on the radio." And Batman straight up goes, "Nobody calls me chicken." And then decides he's going to have to go into the ring.
That was really out of character.
Which, also, nullifying every part of the plot up to this point.
The Riddler could have
started there, and everything still would have ended up in the same spot.
Yes. Correct.
The Riddler could have just called him out.
"Hey, pussy, fight me!
Hey, fight me!" But, again, the Riddler has yet another ability, which is not only can he teleport, he can also, I guess, hack into the city's television and radio?
Yeah.
He may have been calling from the studio.
This is where I was.
He's all powerful.
Yes,
he is a member of the League of Shadows.
This is so we get to the boxing ring, and Batman's there, Robin's there, Alfred is there as Batman's manager, and tells Batman to call him Gus as part of his disguise. This is where I was worried about Holly, because Holly has a problem when Alfred is different people.
I called him Arthur earlier.
I know it was that one. You said that and it upset me. Two.
So
I cannot possibly be the first person to have said Arthur. I probably am.
There is an episode where Alan Napier, who plays Alfred, played Alfred's cousin as well.
And
Holly was very, very unhappy because, you know,
unhappy. I had a moment of clarity that I had never thought about before.
Yes, so Holly was fine with the concept that Adam West played Bruce Wayne and Burt Ward played Dick Grayson, but Alfred was just Alfred. And so
it's just one of those things, because he's not a well-known actor for me, and I just didn't ever think of him as anything other than Alfred.
So when he showed up as two people.
Also, yes, that was a bit confounding. But also, what's his name? Who's Farmer Hoggett? From Babe.
Oh, James Cromwell?
Yeah, he's Farmer Hoggett. Everything I watch him in is Farmer Hoggett doing that thing. That's just how my brain works.
That makes sense. I see Keanu Reeves as Bill S. Preston Esquire, even in The Matrix.
Makes perfect sense. Well, duh. He does.
I know Kung Fu. So Aunt Harriet shows up and explains to Commissioner Gordon she can't find Bruce and Dick anywhere, but who cares? There's a fight and I'm out for blood.
Perfect.
I can't find these really important people, but you know what? I want to watch two people beat each other to death.
Yeah, so
I love a fight, she says.
The fight begins. This is how we get the metal filings and magnets underneath.
It's not how magnets work.
Alfred goes for full pun, and he says to Robin, "I think the real drawing power of this fight is under the ring," because he's figured out there's a magnet.
He's gotten there a lot faster than Batman and Robin.
Because he set it up.
Oh yeah. Oh, Maze of Sadness.
Thank you for the setup, Ben. That was a good alley-oop. And Barbara excuses herself, goes into the women's restroom, and comes out half a second later, fully in Batgirl.
Yep.
I mean, at this point, her changing quickly is the least of our logical concerns.
It's again one of her many superpowers.
She then sort of just goes underneath and just turns off the magnet.
Like, she could have just done that as Barbara.
Yeah, she could have just... Honestly, she didn't even have to go all the way under the ring. She could have just reached in and pulled the lever.
She had a rope, and as I said earlier, that was like a 10-foot by 10-foot space.
Yeah. And the magnet loses all power when it is lowered 18 inches from under the ring. That is a 4-foot-wide magnet, at least. And merely lowering it 18 inches removes all power.
I don't know. I went to public school, so we didn't have the funding magnets, to get to that part.
How
of
do
physics.
Those work?
Exactly.
Batman then easily wins the fight once he's no longer magnetized.
He punches him once.
Yes.
And then they have their big battle royale in the
Little Used Gym.
Yeah.
Little Used Gym. Which
appears to be connected to the arena.
Well, and also, you can go ahead and graduate, Jim. You are quite frequently used Jim. We are here all the time.
Well used Jim.
Yeah.
One of my favorite moments, though, is...
I knew a guy well used Jim.
Because you lived in...
Like a train tunnel.
Because you lived in Vegas. The gay Jim capital.
I think my favorite...
Welcome to Vegas. My name's Jim.
There, you know, this had a very satisfying, you know, there's the big punch out at the end of every single Batman episode.
Yes.
No, not every.
Well, really? Not everyone.
Well, that's...
We had one guest who was very cheated. There was no
fight.
She
was the only thing she knew about the show. She was so excited.
No fight.
No fight.
But at one point, Batgirl hits somebody with a weight.
Yeah.
And I really wish, like, the blood pow would have just been like, smash the skull.
Goosh. That may have been crunch, though.
Like, paralyzed.
This is where Riddler gets knocked out, but has a slow...
Excuse me?
Death scene of a knockout.
I have one job on this podcast, Ben.
This is the onomatopoeia fight leading to Riddler getting knocked out. I apologize.
Pow, splat, zap, crunch, boff, wham.
And Riddler's getting knocked out.
Do you have stats on most of you? Like, you running some sabermetrics?
I would like to, but I have missing documentation. But I might.
You guys got to get on them Google Docs. Or maybe like FreshBooks or something. Like, who's sponsoring podcasts these days? I think FreshBooks.
Yeah.
They do spreadsheets.
At the moment, me is sponsoring podcasts.
Okay.
This is where Riddler tries to yell, "Let's get out through the steam room," which means he knows there's another exit from the steam room.
Or maybe he's just going to figure out
how
she did it.
Maybe those four boxers are just hanging out outside. Maybe they're just like, you know, there's another door.
Man, it is so hot in here. I'm dying. Well, there's a door.
Remember, there are exit signs
everywhere.
That's right. This is where Riddler, as he's about to pass out, says, "What do you throw away, but it always comes back?" And Batman goes, "That's easy, a boomerang." He goes, "I'm a boomerang." He just falls over.
Again, no effort to tie him up or give him to the police.
No.
Yeah.
He was all wobbly.
And
he didn't have some coke strength left in him?
He threw all of his metal coke filings onto Batman in the ring. He had none left for himself.
It's a coke magnet.
Yeah, so the rules are different.
Yeah, okay. That's why it has to be up those 10 inches.
Oh, okay.
Nah.
It's hard to get it up those 10 inches.
That never seemed to happen on
you. And we cut to Commissioner Gordon's office, where a Lorelei Searcy is there to see him.
Okay.
And she walks in.
And Bonnie, his secretary, 100% thinks he bought a hooker.
Yeah.
100%! He's like, your hooker's here.
There's a hooker with a weird Greek fetish thing going on.
Yeah.
So she mesmerizes Commissioner Gordon, and that's the end of the episode. Our next villain is going to be Searcy. Give me one sec, because I haven't looked up what the name of that episode is.
Is it Searcy or is it Siren? I thought that was
her name is Lorelei Searcy. She is Siren.
Like the X-Men?
Yes.
Okay.
The episode is called The Wail of the Siren.
Oh, boy. But, wait.
So there's going to be whales in this episode.
That's Joan Collins.
That was Joan Collins?
Yes.
So, wait. So, with Captain O'Hare, G.H.B.'d... Captain O'Hara, G.H. Bede, and Commissioner Gordon
mesmerized.
There's literally no police left in this city.
No, there are police.
Potato O'Connor is out there somewhere.
Is his name actually Potato O'Connor?
We named him. He was like this officer who, like, every scene, he'd just be like, standing there. Like,
did you guys ever see...
Just don't look in through
because
the
I'm like, if you're going to be racist to everybody, you might
you
as well throw in the
yeah.
Irish.
Police Squad, the TV show that led to Naked Gun.
Yeah.
Do you remember that Nordberg in that was like 8 feet tall and was never actually all the way on camera?
Yeah.
This is Potato O'Connor.
Yeah.
He's the background cop who often has his head cut off.
part of it, or like, and he's like, his one job is to not look at camera.
Yeah.
Oh, and he's so not. He kept looking at the camera, and they were like, oh, fuck, just fucking tilt it so he's chopped off.
Dutch angles are for bad guys, okay?
Fair. But it's funny.
Because the Dutch are evil.
Watching.
Wooden shoes and all.
Watching this show, like, I never understood why every single shot was a Dutch angle in the Tim Burton movies and the Joel Schumacher movies. Now I understand.
Yeah.
Because every single shot's a Dutch angle.
And it's so funny to me.
It's specific to bad guys' lairs.
In the 60s show.
Specific to, yeah.
But it's so funny to me, when you look at the movies, how much, even the movies that try to differentiate themselves from 66, borrow from 66.
Yeah.
Especially Nolan. Nolan lifted all over the place. The mask that Joker's wearing at the beginning of Dark Knight, yeah, is the same one the Joker wore when he pretended to be Pagliacci in the opera.
Yeah.
Literally, the end of Dark Knight Rises is, some days you can't get rid of a bomb.
Oh, yeah.
So there's all these references, even in stuff that tries to differentiate itself completely, which I find fascinating.
You remember the one where he's like running with the bomb and he sees like the duck, that's the leg, movie. Yeah. And then he runs into a...
That's the movie, and that's literally a 2-minute scene. It's as silly and as weird and as nonsensical as this show is, it permeates everything that culture knows about Batman.
Yeah.
And it's super important in that sense, that it is so much part of the cultural zeitgeist that everybody knows it, even if they've not really seen the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of why I love it so much.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank you guys so much for coming.
Can we plug our podcast?
Of course.
That's why you guys are here.
The end of the podcast is for plugging.
Yes, it's the plugging.
I will let Steve plug it.
Okay, so our new podcast, we are calling it The Best of Two Evils. That's the working title.
I like it.
I didn't know that until right now.
Yay!
Well, we had decided on
one. Good thing you subscribed.
That's why. Starring Steve and Ben. And basically, every week, we have to pick two terrible things from popular culture. And we have to defend them in a debate-style showdown. So this week, our very first week, we are doing Waterworld versus Battlefield Earth.
And nobody wins.
Everyone loses.
And we have guest judges to award points and determine a victor and to ultimately crown one thing to actually be redeemable.
Yeah, yeah. Which means that, like, Scientology is going to go up against North Korea.
And one of them will win.
We'll have to win, and we will have to acknowledge.
Thankfully, I think at the moment Scientology doesn't have ICBMs. So,
have you seen that building? What do you think is under those spires?
What do you think the spires are?
Tom Cruise's ex-male lovers. His gay gym.
That's not in Las Vegas.
We've got some doozies coming up. We're going to do 311 versus Three Doors Down. 2010's Nicolas Cage versus 2010's John Travolta.
It's gonna, if you like talking about terrible things.
And who doesn't?
I think you're really gonna like it. And it's cool because you can't just trash the other person's thing the entire time. You have to talk up your
thing. You actually have to defend your position.
Yeah, so I have to defend Waterworld tomorrow. Which is not an enviable position, but he has to defend Battlefield Earth, and
which is going to go great because it's actually a great movie.
Well, you know here's the thing about Waterworld: it's a masterpiece.
We've got the mic set up. Let's just do it.
Gentlemen, I apologize, but Ben already wins because John Travolta in dreadlocks.
Yeah,
we're done. Done.
That's a really good point.
A Twitter where they can follow you guys or anything like that that you'd want?
Google Best of Two Evils.
Yeah, I was because like we don't have anything set up remotely. We can't plug this yet. So, it doesn't exist.
So all right, everybody, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can find us at Batmania66. Look there. We will be posting about the Best of Two Evils so that you can find it if you are listening to us. You can reach us at batmania66mail@gmail.com, or you can reach Holly at julietaymor, julietaymor@gmail.com. There's a story behind that, but
we'll
our listeners have heard
it
before.
We'll
tell you in a minute.
Okay.
So join us next time, everybody. Same bat time, same bat channel.